Luke chapter 18, we'll read together verses 35 through the end of the chapter. If you would follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now, hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near him, he questioned him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work in your people this morning, opening our eyes, opening our hearts, letting us see truth. We pray that we would love truth. We pray for those who are here this morning who are still in the state of this blind man. Spiritual eyes blinded. We pray that even today that you would open their eyes. We pray that you would draw them to Christ. Grant to them repentance and faith. God, we pray for your blessing on the preaching and the preacher. Hide me behind the cross that your word may be proclaimed. And we pray this in the name of our Savior for your kingdom's sake. Amen. You will remember Jesus is on a journey. He's traveling toward Jerusalem. That is the end goal. He has told the disciples just in the verses before, look while you're there in verse 31. He took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. All things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles. He will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon. And after they scourge him, they will kill him, and the third day he will rise again." But the disciples understood none of these things. He's told them what's happening, where they're going. So let us keep in mind that this is the journey that Jesus is on. What we find here is the last miracle of mercy that Christ would perform. There is the cursing of the fig tree, but I don't think we classify that as a miracle of mercy necessarily. And this being a healing, this is the last healing that Jesus will perform before he goes to the cross. It's also important for us to note that many have been healed, many have been saved, many have come to faith in Jesus Christ through his ministry, as we've studied the last 18 chapters of Luke. But now we are to the last four conversions that will happen in Jesus' earthly ministry. Here, blind Bartimaeus, and then next time we'll discuss and look at the passage in chapter 19 when Zacchaeus is saved. And then we have the thief on the cross and the soldier at the foot of the cross. Those are the last four conversions of Christ's ministry here. So we should understand that we're coming to the close of the the Gospel of Luke, and we're getting down to the last days of Jesus' life on earth. And he approaches Jericho. If we read the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find different statements that he's coming into Jericho, that he's going through Jericho, that he's near Jericho, that he's leaving Jericho. We find even in chapter 19 here that he entered Jericho and was passing through to find Zacchaeus. Here's the thing that we should understand from that. Even though our English translations may say entering Jericho or exiting Jericho, the terminology, the language leads us to see that he's in this vicinity of Jericho. He's going in and out. This is not a place that he will stay for a long time, but he will have an overnight stay here, as we see with Zacchaeus. So this is happening in the area of Jericho, an area south and downhill from Jerusalem. So he will be headed north and ascending the hill as he goes to lay down his life for sin. The text tells us in verse 35, and we're going to follow the text very closely this morning. So the text tells us here in verse 35, a blind man is sitting by the road begging. We find in Matthew and Mark that there was not only one blind man, that there was two blind men sitting. But we have this one blind man who is named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. He is named for us. And then here in Luke's account, he is the single blind man who is focused upon. We believe this may be because Bartimaeus, after he has been healed and has been saved by Jesus Christ, is a part of the church, and those people would know him. So when we talk about Bartimaeus, people would have been like, yeah, I know Bartimaeus. That's the guy that's in our church. He's the guy that's there. Bartimaeus is following Jesus after he is healed. We read that he follows Jesus. He continues with him. He would have been there for the triumphal entry. He would have. Those are some of the first things he would have seen. The triumphal entry, and then the beating and crucifixion of Christ. Some believe that Bartimaeus would have been one of the ones waiting in the upper room. This blind man is sitting by the road. We know what that looks like as we drive through the cities, even local to us, even in our own city here in Waco. We see people sitting by the road begging, standing by the road begging. We see beggars by the road. We know what this is like. In this day, some would have said that the beggars standing by the road, seated by the road, were offering a service in their culture, in their belief. Giving alms to the poor would have been a requirement, would have been a responsibility of every man to give alms to the poor. And if that is your responsibility, you've got to go out and find the poor to give alms. But these people made it easy by sitting by the road. So some would have said, see, they're offering a service here that we can give our alms. And they're right here. They're close as they sit by the road begging. This man is blind. Blindness is something that we can't imagine if we've not experienced. I mean, we try. We think about what that would be like, but to never have seen color, to never have seen things perceived with our eyes. What we do know about blind men is that other senses are heightened. Here we have in verse 36, that he heard the crowd. Now, Bartimaeus certainly would have had heightened hearing. He would have been able to hear people approaching and people leaving. And here he hears the crowd. And this crowd is different from the crowds of every day. Every day there's a certain noise to the crowd. There's a certain sound to what's happening around Bartimaeus. He would have understood this. And every day it's kind of the same, unless something special happens, unless something big is happening. And here, something's happening. There's a crowd. He begins to inquire, what is that? Because something's going on. There are more people. There's more noise. Perhaps there's more chatter, not just the movement of people, but conversations and chatter. And he inquires, what is going on. And in verse 37, they tell him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now that may fall on our ears. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And it may mean nothing to us. But I want you to remember this comment. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? This is almost a slur. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. It's that Jesus. Now, Jesus had a certain level of, we could call it fame, notoriety. People knew who he was. The things that he had said and the things that he had done had spread, and people knew who he was. So here they say, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. What we need to understand is that this Bartimaeus, he's no dummy. He is a blind man. His physical eyes are darkened and he cannot see as you and I see with our physical eyes. But this man's eyes spiritually were open. This man was no blind man. He's told Jesus of Nazareth is passing by and he calls out Jesus, Son of David. There's so much in that that we need to understand. Jesus of Nazareth, almost a slur, but Son of David is a special title, a special phrase that every Jew would have recognized. Son of David, that's a messianic title. That's a title for the promised one who will come. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and Bartimaeus... I know who Jesus of Nazareth is. He is the Son of David. He is the Messiah. He is the long-expected one. And he begins to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Verse 39, and we're just going through this, and we're going to come back, circle back around and find that we should imitate, we should be like Bartimaeus in three things. But let's look in verse 39. Those who led the way, those who were out front, were sternly telling him, telling Bartimaeus to be quiet. Keep your peace. You need to quieten down. Now, we don't know why. Perhaps this is because we don't want Jesus to be bothered. And we've seen that in the past. When people were bringing their children to come to Jesus that he might bless them. Keep these kids out of here. Keep the children away. We don't want the children bothering Jesus. We saw that. And what did Jesus say at that time? Suffer the little children to come unto me. So perhaps that is the motivation for them to say, Bartimaeus, you need to pipe down. You need to keep it down. You're disrupting. And understand, when he called out, when he cried out, this is more than just, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. It's more than that. The word here for crying out is the same word that's used when the demoniac who had a multiple demon possession, the demoniac cried out. Now think of what that must have sounded. That must have been a blood-curdling scream. It's also used in Scripture to describe women in childbirth. Things to come. Women crying out in childbirth. So when Bartimaeus cries out, it's not just a slight raise of the voice. He is crying out, would you say, almost in desperation. He's crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they say, you need to keep it down. There's a whole crowd here, and you're louder than all of them. You're disrupting the whole thing here. You need to pipe down. But he cries out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. How many times have we seen in our study of this gospel Jesus displaying love and compassion? Jesus displaying that thing that often we lack. When they brought the children, Jesus didn't say, yeah, get those kids out of here. They're bothering me. Suffer the little children. here we've got Bartimaeus who is disrupting everything. And Jesus says, call him over here. Bring him over here. We find in the other Gospels that he leapt to his feet. That's a blind man. That he leapt to his feet. And that he left his cloak, his outer garment. Now this would have been probably the most valuable possession that he had. There were special laws in place that a beggar, especially a blind beggar, could not be deprived of his cloak. Even if he was sued in a court of law, even if he owed a debt to be paid, he would not be deprived of this outer garment, because at night when he laid down on the ground under the stars with no home, that would have been his only covering, his only warmth, his only protection. And Bartimaeus leaps to his feet and leaves the thing that yesterday would have been the most important thing for him to hold on to. There's something in that for us Christians. Bartimaeus leaps to his feet and has to be led. He's a blind man. Where is Jesus? Which one is Jesus? He is led to Christ. When he came near, he said, Jesus says in verse 41, what do you want for me to do to you? Now this is a question that Bartimaeus might have been prepared for. I think he was prepared for. I mean, he's a beggar that sits by the street every day. How many people might have stopped and asked, what do you want? What do you need? What is your desire? I need money. I need bread. I need water. I need somebody to walk me across the way to go over to that place. I need help with this. I need help with that. Bartimaeus would have been accustomed to asking for help. He would ask for help for everything. Everything that he had to do, he would have to ask. It's important also for us to realize that blindness would have been seen by almost everyone as a curse from God. That's a curse from God. God has cursed this man with blindness. Do you remember the blind man that was brought to Jesus who had been blind from birth, and the question that was asked? This man is blind. He's been blind from birth. Who sinned? Him or his parents? There was no option in their mind. There was no place in their thinking that there wasn't a curse for sinfulness. So Bartimaeus would have been an outcast as a beggar and as a blind man, seen as one cursed of God. And he would have been dependent on others being merciful to him every day for almost everything. So Jesus asked this question that maybe Bartimaeus is accustomed to hearing. What do you want me to do for you? And everything that Bartimaeus had asked of everyone else for his entire life was not good enough. That wasn't the thing. Do you want bread? No. I want to see. I want my sight restored. Now I've found no commentator to comment on this. So this is my thinking. Take it for what it's worth. I wonder if he's not saying, everyone sees my blindness as the curse of God on me. Would you remove that? Would you remove that? Perhaps he even thought himself, am I cursed by God? Does God hate me? What he asks here, I would regain my sight. Now remember, we said that he cried out, and he did not cry out, Jesus of Nazareth. He didn't cry out, Jesus the Galilean. He didn't cry out, Jesus born in Bethlehem, Jesus son of David. And now he asks something that only the Messiah could grant. I mean, that's what we read earlier in Isaiah 35. The Messiah will come and what will happen? The blind will see, the lame will walk, the dead will live. The gospel will be proclaimed. The blind see. This Bartimaeus, he's got quite a theology going. Jesus, son of David. And when he says, I want to regain my sight, what does he say? Lord. One of the other gospels tells us, Master. Which is it? I think it's both. Lord and Master. I want to regain my... Now, do you see his theology really developing before us here? This is the Messiah, and he is Lord and Master. Can I tell you, this is how a sinner comes to Christ for salvation. Lord and Master. I want to regain my sight. That's proclaimed. I believe you to be the Messiah. Scripture tells us that when Messiah comes, the blind will see. I, Lord and Master, want to regain my sight. Matthew and Mark tells us that Jesus touched his eyes. Jesus often used some means. He spit on the ground and he would make a mud and put it on their eyes, or he would touch them, or he used something physical many times. And here, Jesus touches this blind man, these two blind men who are healed. He touches him. As I've thought, some of you may say, you've thought about this too much. I don't know that I've thought about it too much, but I've thought about it a lot. You touch somebody's eyes. The hands of Jesus were the first thing Bartimaeus saw. The first thing that he saw. The hands that just about a week later would be pierced with nails. As Bartimaeus' sin is laid on Christ on Calvary. And the hands of Jesus are the first thing that he sees. Jesus says these words, receive yourself. But before we go from that, there's no magic touch. Jesus is not doing a magic trick here. If Jesus was doing some sort of a magic trick, then you could learn the magic trick. You could do that. There's no magic trick. When Jesus did spit on the ground and make that paste and put it on that man's eyes to heal him, the power wasn't in the dirt. The power wasn't in the mud. The power is in Christ. And here, Bartimaeus has hope. He has hope. Not the kind of hope that we talk about. I hope it rains. Boy, I hope it rains. Even as I say, I hope it rains, I think, but it probably won't. Often we use the word hope like that. Wouldn't it be great if? You know what would be neat? What I would like. And we say hope. But we want to use this in a biblical way. Bartimaeus has hope. And that hope is an assurance in. He has hope to receive his sight. But his hope to receive his sight is not that he cried out well. Did I do good enough when I cried out? Did I do good enough in that to receive my sight? Well, he cried out and he didn't receive his sight. Did I do good enough when I asked, Lord and Master, I want to regain my sight. Did I do good enough? His hope is not in how well he did. His hope is not in himself at all. And so many people talk today about faith like the power is in the person with faith. But there's an object of faith. Bartimaeus is not trusting in himself. He's not trusting in his ability to cry out well. He's trusting in Jesus, the Son of David, the Messiah, the one who would come and the blind would receive their sight. He's trusting in the Christ. And Jesus says, receive your sight. Your faith has. Now, my New American Standard says your faith has made you well. Maybe your translation says the same thing. The word here is sozo. There's another word for your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you. The word here is sozo. Your faith has saved you. This is more. Bartimaeus had more faith, and we see it in the things that he said, in the things that we see his theology develop, that it wasn't just this guy can do the medical miracle of giving sight. Bartimaeus' faith is this is the Messiah. This is the anointed one. This is the one who comes. His name is Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sin. And Bartimaeus receives his sight, and your faith has saved you. Not because he faithed enough. Not because he worked up enough. Not because he worked his faith into a lather. His faith saved him because of the object of his faith. Not the quality or the quantity. Amen? Any Wednesday night folks here? The quiddity. It's not the quality of his faith that was that was the saving power. It's not the quantity of faith. It's the quiddity. It's that it's faith in Jesus Christ. It's the stuff of trusting Jesus. Immediately he regained his sight. And he began following him, glorifying God. Now we need to take three things from Bartimaeus. Three things that we should emulate, that we should imitate, that we should be like Bartimaeus. Christians, as we look at this, you should remember a time where you sat spiritually by the road, blinded. You should remember a time where you're like, yeah, there's all this stuff that was going on, and I just was not aware. I just didn't get it. I just was blind. This is a picture of Christ saving a soul. This is a picture. The first thing that we should imitate is faith. Bartimaeus demonstrates, displays, exercises faith. And we see it here as he, sitting by the road, hearing about Jesus of Nazareth, calls out to Jesus, Son of David. Now, Bartimaeus had probably been by that road, had probably been in this general vicinity. Blind people in this time were not world travelers. Remember, they had to have help everywhere they went. He had been, basically, we can think, in this place. But he had heard. He had heard. It's significant here that he had heard from the testimony of others. I mean, he hadn't seen what Jesus had done. He hadn't been there to hear what Jesus had said. But he believes based on the testimony of others. He has faith. Now, is there anyone here who, based on the testimony of others, believe in Jesus, though you have not seen? Based on the testimony of men like Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Paul, based on the testimony of others, what you haven't seen, think about this. You have not seen Jesus. You have not seen what he did. But based on the testimony of others and the work of the Holy Spirit, you believe. This is the faith that Bartimaeus had. He believed. Every person here, I would encourage you to emulate the faith of Bartimaeus. He believed in Jesus. And as he calls out, verse 39, those who were leading the way told him to be quiet. And now I brought up, maybe it's because they didn't want Jesus to be disturbed. But you know what another possibility is? Everybody here knows when you say Jesus, Son of David, you're saying that man is the Messiah. And you need to be quiet. You need to quieten down. Now, we've seen the stuff that he's done, and yeah, it's pretty impressive. But you need to quiet down about him being the Messiah. You need to soften what you think about him. Have faith in him. Just soften his identity in your mind. Maybe they would have said, cry out, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me, and you can keep going. Maybe they would have accepted his cry if it had not been a claim that Jesus is the Messiah. Have you experienced that? I'm not trying to talk you out of being a Christian. I'm just saying, you're going a little far here. You're going a little overboard. You're a little fanatical. You're a little on the crazy side when it comes to Jesus. I want you to emulate the faith of Bartimaeus, but I want you to emulate the fortitude of Bartimaeus. They told him to be quiet, to soften what he said. And the scripture tells us he kept crying out all the more, louder and longer. And he did not soften the volume, but he also didn't soften his account of Christ. He still says, Jesus, Son of David. He didn't back up from who he believed Jesus to be and who Jesus is. In the face of opposition, his faith was not squelched. His faith was not quieted. His faith was not put off. He cried out all the more. Emulate Bartimaeus in his faith, and emulate Bartimaeus in his fortitude, in his fiber, to stand in the face of opposition. Now, let me say this. There are many who have a fervor without facts. I'm using a lot of those. Okay, everything's all going to start with the letter F today. There are many who have a fervor, who have an excitement, but they don't really know who Jesus is. They've got an excitement about some Jesus who they made up in their mind, some Jesus who they want to believe in because he's the Jesus they created. We all know what that looks like. And let me warn every one of us, if we're not in the scripture studying the Jesus of the Bible, we will have that same tendency. We'll start thinking Jesus is a lot more like me. Bartimaeus wasn't there. Bartimaeus knew the scripture. Bartimaeus knew he has this well-developed theology. This is Jesus, Son of David. The blind will see. I know what I'm asking for. I know what I'm about here. And he had a fortitude. Emulate his faith and emulate his fortitude. Verse 42, Jesus says to him, receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. What a moment. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. That's what the text tells us. He received his sight. What happens when a blind man's eyes are open? What's the natural response? Follow. Now, Christians, have you sat by the road spiritually blind? Cried out to Jesus, I want to receive my sight. Your faith has saved you. Now what? Now what? Well, I guess just go back to life like normal. Just go back to the same old, the rat race. Let's remember something here. Bartimaeus, now we talked about, he would have been seen as cursed by God, and he would have been seen as a beggar. He would have been dependent on others for everything that he had to do. But could we say this? He had no real responsibilities. I just got to sit here and I got to beg. That's all that's got to happen. And when he says, Jesus, I would receive my sight, everything's fixed to change. Everything's fixed to change. Bartimaeus, yesterday you didn't have a job and you had no way of going to get a job, and nobody expected you to get a job. But tomorrow, some things are going to change. What some might have seen as his meal ticket, people coming by and giving to him, he gave that up. I would receive my sight. And he saw, going back to where I was, there's no sense in that. Well, you left your cloak over there. Now I can work and I'll do good. I'll get a home. I'll get another cloak. I'll be fine. He left that behind. He left behind the place where he used to sleep, the place where he used to sit. He left all that behind and he followed Jesus. Too many times, Christians, we think that what we got is this escape from hell. One day when heaven and hell issue comes up, I'll be on the heaven side. I'm not going to hit hell. But in the meantime, I'm just going to go back to living like I used to live. In the meantime, I'm just going to go back to where I used to be, doing what I used to do. That is not Bartimaeus' response, because that is not the response of someone whose eyes have been opened by Jesus. The one whose eyes have been opened by Jesus follows. He followed him. And as I said, we believe that he followed him all the way to Jerusalem, where he made a new life in Jerusalem and would have been one of the ones there in the church in Jerusalem. He began to follow him. Not just following, glorifying God. Emulate Bartimaeus' faith. Emulate Bartimaeus' fortitude. Emulate Bartimaeus' following. I don't have a word here for this. Glorifying God. It's worship. The word worship means to fall down. There you go. To fall down before the feet of Jesus. He follows Jesus and he worships Jesus. Now, when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. This event worked a lot of people into this exciting fervor. This event worked the crowd up. We believe that this excitement so energized the crowd, and that energy grew and grew and grew, that when they get to Jerusalem, there's this triumphal entry. Most of those who were shouting praise and worship words, Hosanna in the highest, King of Kings, most of those were just saying words. Most of those were just saying some things. They were easy to say. And in the excitement, they said what other people were saying. But those same voices would later turn to say, crucify him. Crucify him. But Bartimaeus followed Christ and glorified God. He worshiped. And it wasn't just words. Imitate Bartimaeus in his faith, in his fortitude, and in his following. If you are here today and you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Christ Jesus, you should see in this your story. You should be able to say with that other blind man, "This I know. I was blind, and now I see." And when you were blind, and now you see, you say things like, "How could everybody not see? How could that not be?" We should remember what Christ has done for us by opening our spiritual eyes, by calling us to Himself. If you are here and you have never trusted Jesus Christ savingly, you still sit by that road, blinded spiritually. Ephesians tells us dead spiritually. Not dead to all things, because the one who is dead spiritually is alive to sin, is alive to self. If you are in that state today, heed these words. Imitate Bartimaeus. Trust in Jesus, the Son of David. Trust in Jesus when your friends, when maybe your family, when others tell you that you shouldn't. Emulate Bartimaeus' fortitude and follow Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great salvation that we have in Christ. We see, as your word uses blindness as a picture of our lost condition, we see how you have come to us and touched our spiritual eyes and opened them that we might see our own sin, our own condition, our own lostness, and that we might see Jesus Christ, our Savior. God, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would bring every one of your children in this place to follow you more closely, to worship you more truly. And God, for those who are here who have not been saved by your power, we pray, we ask that you would draw them to Christ, that you would open their eyes, that they would see Christ. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.